News Radio 560 KPQ. Our time is, it's 15 past the hour. What happened to my clock here on the computer? Let's see what I can do. Oh, there it is. Yes, 12:15 as I live and breathe. Consider this. Towns stretch from here to there. Every town is pretty similar in its own fashion, in its own distinct way, but that's only the city limits. Some cities have tiny, very tight city limits. Some extend over an entire county. For some, from anywhere in town, you can throw a baked potato over the city limits and watch the raccoons at their dinner. But in terms of city size, just does not matter. For instance, in New York, the city population at midnight is 7 million, but by noon, a Manhattan headcount is up to 14 million or more. In Washtenaw, the midnight population is 204. At noon, still 204, and that's counting the raccoons. But there's more. Wait. Smallest town in Washington, according to the computer, Krupp, K-U-K-R-U-P-P. Krupp, the smallest town. 52 people live there. It's 0.6 square miles. For reference, Krupp is equal distance between Wenatchee and Spokane, if you've never been there. And it appears from a quick Google search that there aren't any schools there or anything else, really. Sort of a blip on the radar. What was that? That might have been Krupp. So hello to all 52 Kruppers, or Krupptonians, or Krupptonites, or whatever you call yourselves. I hope you listen to the agenda every day. All 52 of you gathered around one radio. The people of Krupp, however, are rather strange. They don't call their town Krupp. They call it Marlin. That's the official name on the post office, too. So why a town with no people has two names is for anything, I don't know. If you pass through Krupp looking for Marlin, what should you do? Just keep going till you reach Spokane, because there you at least have a place to get lunch. So whether it's the Big Apple or Marlin Krupp, the metro superplex of 48 to 200 souls, and all the scavenging medium-sized mammals of whom they are either named Marlin or Krupp, and remarkably they do respond to their names, they are a proud collection of mammals. My point being, regardless of size, a city is more about its energy and its vitality. It's more about the positive vibrations than it is about bridges or skyscrapers or sewage systems. Now, I personally am not an authority on the cosmic nature of cities, but I do know a single leader that we've, through different chicanery, have managed to get into the studio today. He can push and pull an urban area into a welcome future. It seems that our mayor, Frank Kuntz, is one of those guys who will appreciate his personal appearance today, like the great mayors of the past, Fiorella LaGuardia, John Lindsay, and all the Daily Boys, not to mention that idiot Boris Johnson, who no longer runs London. No, Frank Kuntz isn't suitably to be introduced as our great mayor, and here in the studio, now that he's been sufficiently buttered up, he's ready for his interview. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael. Always a pleasure to be here and listen to your monologue, if you will.
My ravings. Well, here's something that I've been saving until we had a meeting here together, because I've been waiting to say this, but we haven't talked until since Christmas, probably.
Yes, it's been a while.
For some reason, which I take the responsibility for, but congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you.
And your wonderful honeymoon.
Yes, got married last November 2nd, and then we went off to Mexico for 3 or 4 days, and I don't have a lot of free time, so we found a weekend that worked along
the
way.
You ran off like a couple teenagers to Mexico.
And then came back and right back at it, and then I had to go through tax season and learn all the new Trump tax rules and all that sort of stuff, and survived that through last Monday.
Did your clients approve or disapprove of the new tax laws?
As I would say, there are winners and losers.
Damn, that's just with everything, isn't it?
The winners and losers, and some were pretty good winners, and some were pretty solid losers, and it just... But they all took it pretty well one way or another. And
not much choice in the matter, really.
Nope, law's been passed, so you just try to do your best to adhere to it, and... here we are, getting ready for another apple blossom and back at it.
So anyway, congratulations on your marriage, and I hope that that's really a happy time for you and your wife.
That's great.
Now, we had some news today that surprised me, but it's something that I've been waiting to happen. There's a lot of warehouse space downtown that's underutilized, I would say. Some of it because of the size. You don't have the small company has no business being in a huge warehouse. And some of it is the fact that it's not wired for the 20th century in some instances. But a $13 million sale downtown of two different parcels is quite something, and I sense that the future is catching up with us.
Yeah, it's really interesting as you sort of look at our downtown, as we've looked at it over the last, 3 or 4 years, the Chelan County PUD is moving out into Old Station. That really isn't a surprise, even though they finally made the decision a week or so ago. That's been ongoing for a while, and that will leave a 6-acre site, ready for redevelopment. And then directly across the railroad tracks is a parcel owned by what's called Lineage, which for those of us that have been in this valley a long time, it's the old Columbia Coal Store building. I knew that was owned by Columbia Coal Store, and it doesn't surprise me that that building is for sale because it was built 120 years ago and technology changes in 120 years and those buildings are old. What I didn't understand is how much else they owned in our downtown, including both sides of Arondo Avenue by the railroad tracks, buildings to the north of that, buildings to the south of that. I think it's some 10 or 12 separate buildings, some 13 acres, 350,000 square feet of what is fruit packing and storage sort of facilities, and that's all available now. So you have the 13 acres, which is Lineage, and you have the 6 or 7 acres, which is Chelan County PUD, and now you have a 20-acre slice of your downtown core sort of available for redevelopment or sale, and that's a big amount for a city our size.
Was Lineage just holding the property, hoping something good would happen?
Well, they've been utilizing it. When I toured it 2 or 3 weeks ago, there were still frozen corn in some of the buildings. So they have a corn plant out in Quincy, and they freeze a lot of it and leave it in these buildings. They have quite a plant in Quincy and quite a plant in Pasco, and I think the technology of these older plants have made it where it's more efficient for them to do that work out in the Quincy area. So they've decided to sell these properties. Again, I walked into them and they were freezing. Literally, it was 30 degrees in these buildings when I was walking through them.
So that part of it works.
Yes. And they have, but again, it's old technology, old machinery. I wouldn't expect a fruit company to go in and buy it and say, hey, we're going to continue to do what Columbia Coal Store has been doing there. I'm assuming economically that probably doesn't work. So then we're looking at redevelopment. What's next? You know, can you do some sort of technology incubator in some of these buildings? Can you put some sort of residential component in there? Can you put more brew pubs? I mean, what sorts of things can go in? The zoning is our waterfront mixed use, which means it's just about anything. So we're watching it very closely. It was interesting with a Flywheel conference was here last week with some venture capital folks. And some very significant real estate investors were in the room as well. Howard S. Wright, who owns the Space Needle, was here again. Another developer from Mercer Island, who's done very well, was here. And so just sort of, I was sort of getting it out to those guys, hey, what's Wenatchee do with 20 acres in downtown that's available? I said, if that was in Kirkland or Seattle or Bellevue, you'd have a bidding war for it. Yet in Wenatchee, you know, economically, that's a big bite for our sort of local development group. So, it will be interesting to watch, and we have our we're watching very closely, and we've had, you know, some conversations with some folks, and we'll sort of see where it all goes, but we're watching very closely.
Is there a dollar price and that the experts have put on what it takes to bring those buildings into the 21st century?
There isn't. Everyone will probably give you a different number. I think a lot of it depends on what the use is going to be, right? And are you going to try to put residential in there that requires some sort of fire, you know, fire suppression systems, you know, those big old block buildings they're big and they're tall, and you know, how do you heat that? How do you cool that? There are some interesting buildings. I think some of the stuff just south of Arondo's three stories, and there's ramps in there with everything, you know, using the to get the apples up and down with trucks and stuff. So it's an interesting buildings. They're all sort of, some are different, some are block, some are brick. You know, some are 120 years old and some are 30 years old and everything in between. And what the folks, the realtors have told us is that they're not going to sell them building by building.
Somebody has to buy it all?
It's all or nothing. So you're in for all of it or you're not.
And that's $14 million.
That's 13.7 is the listing price, but you know, sometimes selling price and listing prices are different. But they said the way the bank relationship is set up, and I didn't get into the details, they basically said is the buyer has to buy all of it. And so that certainly changes how you might put a deal together, because if, you know, you want parcel A and someone else wants parcel B, you may have to get the group together to sort of buy out what everybody wants. But, again, we're watching very closely. And then with the PUD property, same thing. You know, they'll be out in 2 or 3 years. And, you know, we got to figure out what that's going to look like and how that's all sort of going to redevelop. So, pretty interesting time if you're in downtown Wenatchee.
Now, if those giant buildings that we're talking about were torn down and then we were just talking about vacant lots, the price would be maybe twice that.
Could be. Yeah, very much so. I mean, obviously vacant property, you know, we look at some of those properties and go, well, they got to be demolished. So you look at the price, then you add demolition costs to it, and 13.7 might end up being $18 million, right? By the time you knock them all down. And if there's asbestos in any of those buildings and some of that sort of stuff, you're talking about a big deal. So I would assume that most of them would be reusable in some form or another.
As they are.
As they are, whether you have to do something to frame it up so you can get windows in the buildings, and whether you can, you know, gut out all the cooling systems and stuff and put in things that are more either residentially flavored or for other sort of uses. You know, you got to get some light in some of those buildings. You know, a big old block building, you and I wouldn't want to work in that. We can look outside the window right here. So it's just trying to figure out the right uses and who might do it. And we've had some folks that have bought some, you know, downtown industrial properties and redeveloped them on a smaller scale. So we'll see. I think it's, you know, and there's a rail spur to one of them. So, you know, the city is sort of interested in, you know, the property to the north is served by a rail spur that runs through property that we own. We'd like to see the rail spur go bye-bye,
right?
But that's up to the ultimate user, because with the rail spur going bye-bye, there's a whole bunch of parking that opens up that's just sort of on city-owned property. So, you know, the northern property, the one near Fifth Street, is one that the city looks at and said, you know, that is one that we might be interested in trying to do something with or see what happens if we can remove the rail spur. That would help us out a bunch.
I know that the idea of taking them down seems interesting, but the people who want that area, in terms of the customer who's coming around the corners one of these days soon, likes the look, likes the warehouse look. And I've seen those neighborhoods succeed in San Francisco, in Denver, in parts of Los Angeles, where they say, no, don't tear that down. We want the old warehouse look. We're going to put a, we're going to put a modern new world inside, but we want that look of the like 1950s industrial area. It's cool to them. They want it.
Yeah, especially in San Francisco, and you see it in Seattle too. Some of the old warehouse districts are really, really cool. And again, if you had you know, this property in downtown Seattle would sell for $50 million, right? Just because of what the marketplace is. So in some instances, the Wenatchee economy obviously isn't Seattle's economy or Bellevue's or Kirkland's. So, you know, the prices aren't the same. The number of developers that do this sort of work aren't the same. I mean, we feel like we probably have to attract someone from out of the area to come in and say, hey, I've done this other places, and I'm buying this for 30 cents on the dollar, and I'll bet on Wenatchee over the next 10 or 15 years and watch this stuff redevelop and be part of it. And I'm guessing we'll get someone who'll do that. I think there's just enough discussion around the Northwest about Wenatchee that it wouldn't surprise me if someone doesn't pop up from out of the area and buy all that.
And just the reasonable investment in the total price, which may seem something to someone who's only got $1 million, but if you have 20, that's a great investment that's going to double and well, sooner than later.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's, but again, in order to play that game, you got to have money to play that game, right?
Yeah.
And so it's probably not for a couple of brand new developers who haven't done anything. It's probably for someone who's done these developments in the past, knows how they work, knows what the marketplace is, knows the cost to redevelop these things, and looks at our city and says, yes, it's ready for the next round of development. And the other thing I think a little bit that we've talked off and on about, and we may be, get closer to that, is this idea is how do you get an Amazon or a Microsoft or a Facebook or one of those sorts of companies to want to have some sort of a satellite location in our region. You know, we're 2 hours and 15 minutes from downtown Seattle on a good traffic day. Downtown Seattle is becoming a bit messy, if you will. And, you know, do people want this lifestyle? Be close to Mission Ridge, be on the riverfront, have the trail right in front of them. You know, can we attract one of those sorts of companies? If you're a developer and you have a company like that that says, yeah, I'm willing to come to Wenatchee and take 30 or 40,000 square feet and 300 or 400, you know, living units, now you got something.
Now you got something.
Now you got something that you can say, okay, I'm going to develop this property for this particular user and start really, you know, sort of penciling some stuff in. So I don't know that we're there yet. I am not aware of any conversations with those sorts of companies about that, but I sort of think it's coming.
I think a number of people have been talking about it for a while, but all of a sudden today, here's a $14 million deal that just drops out of the sky, or apparently.
Well, I would say a couple of things. You got the $14 million deal that just dropped out of the sky. We just finished our third Flywheel conference, and the people in that room have money.
For real.
And a lot of money. And they like that Flywheel conference. They like what's going on in our city. You just have the Chelan County PUD who just cut a power deal with Microsoft to provide all green green energy to their campus in Redmond. So there's relationships that are sort of building between the PUD and the upper levels of them and Microsoft. You have, some software developers here that work for other software companies. You know, Subsplash is here now. So there's starting to get a little ecosystem around here with enough discussions with enough different folks that maybe A and B and C all connect at the same time and something will happen. So, those things are all sort of new in the last, 6 months to a year, a lot of that. So just, you never know. You never know what's happening. I mean, the Gates Foundation's been buying a whole bunch of ag in our, not necessarily in Wenatchee, but in north central Washington.
Just fields and orchards?
Orchards, active apple orchards. I think they think it's a good investment long term. So you're starting to see a little bit of that sort of money floating around a little bit, and all of a sudden you just sort of never know, right? You never know when something plus something and something clicks.
Well, if you brought a new company to town, Google or somebody like that, and tried to move them into this building with 250 new employees, it just wouldn't work.
Right.
But you could easily put 250 people into one of those warehouses, and it would work beautifully.
Yes, or you could build something new out on the north end where Stemilt has got some land for sale near the baseball fields there at the park. There's lots of different options for those sorts of companies if they want to be in this area. Two things. You're going to have to bring employees here because we don't have that depth of folks here to do that, and you've got to make sure you got housing types that work for those employees.
It's a big economic footprint.
Yeah, and well, listen, that's the reason you would come here, right? You come in here because you can't afford a house in Seattle and you don't like what's going on in downtown with the homeless issues, and this is a bit of a slower lifestyle, and so I want to be in Wenatchee. I can get a house that's cheaper. I can live closer to work, and I can ride the loop on my lunch hour.
Get to work in 10 minutes.
Yeah, and get to Mission Ridge after work or, take off early for a couple hours. So that lifestyle that we all live here and we take for granted is stuff that others want. It's do they have enough of them that are willing to do this? Is the company willing to make the jump to say, hey, this is a place where we want to go? I've heard a number of people tell me that Wenatchee is going to be the next Bend, Oregon, and Bend has quite a technology center involved with them. But
did they have to court that?
They courted it, and then they've been able to get some. They did we're doing Flywheel. They did Flywheel long before there was Flywheel. And they did a technology conference, got companies to come and look, and sort of next thing you know, they had a technology hub that was going. And quite frankly, a lot of us out of the San Francisco folks, they've got a direct flight to San Francisco, and San Francisco companies are moving to Bend, Oregon.
Wow.
And so, I don't want to be Bend, Oregon. I want to be the best Wenatchee we can be and make sure that we attract the kinds of companies that want to be here, the employees that like the lifestyle that we have. So you never know. You just keep staying the game and sort of see what happens.
The PUD said that they have very little land left at Old Station. They've sold it off to just about everybody, so they're looking to buy. Do you think they would be a buyer of this land?
No, I don't. The port might, the PUD.
That's what I meant. Yeah. I meant the Port of Chelan.
We've talked to the port a little bit, just sort of over a cup of coffee about what do you think about the lineage stuff and what do you think the right role is. I think both the port and the city, quite frankly, believe that if a developer wants it, that's obviously the best, right? You always want private first. If private isn't interested or you can't seem to get a private deal together, then I think the port and us would sit there and look at it and say, is there a way for us to partner and maybe buy some of it or do something? Is there a role for us? So I would say right now we don't think there's a role for us because we anticipate the privates will take over, but we will, I think, at least discuss perhaps maybe doing something, if that doesn't happen.
How's your move into the new City Hall going?
Been wonderful. The top floor of the federal building is a great office space. I think we've had lots of meetings. We have two conference rooms upstairs. We've been obviously having council meetings on the second floor since Thanksgiving. It's really going well. The design for the main floor is moving right along. So I bet you by mid next year, we're probably starting to build something. And that building is going to be something else when there's a couple hundred employees in there.
Our guest is Mayor Frank Kuntz, Mayor of Wenatchee. Our time is 1234, 1234. Be back right after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
65 degrees, it's 1238. My very special guest is Frank Kuntz, the Mayor of Wenatchee. We're talking about new developments downtown. In fact, there was a reference today, Mr. Mayor, to something that I don't know what it is. Could you define what a city economic zone is?
So there's an opportunity zone, if that's what we're trying to get at.
Okay.
These opportunity zones are a development of the Trump tax laws that we were talking about a little bit earlier, where there's some economic and tax incentives for development in certain portions of, in this instance, our city, which our opportunity zone sort of starts at Fifth Street and heads south and goes all the way out to Malaga, to be honest with you, and takes up the Alcoa property. So a lot of it's in the city limits. A lot of it is in the county. But we do have an opportunity zone. Most of this lineage property is in the opportunity zone. So if you got a developer that had sold some property someplace else and didn't want to pay taxes, they could come in and invest on a tax-free basis from federal income tax. And so we have them here. I think it's too early to tell for me on a national scale, sort of, is this opportunity zone tax legislation going to work the way that everyone thought it would when we started these things.
How do I take advantage of it if I'm a owner, developer, or millionaire?
So I think the first thing is you have to have a sale of a property some other place that generated a gain. And so you're getting ready to write a check to the IRS, and you say, no, I don't want to write a check to the IRS. So if you invest in a property in an opportunity zone.
Bingo.
Pick a piece of property, a lineage building. Okay, that's number one. You have to certify that it's in the zone. Number two. Have to improve the building, number three. And then if you hold it for 10 years and sell it, you will not have to pay tax on the appreciation for that 10-year period.
Boy, a lot of things change in 10 years.
Yeah. And so it takes all of those sorts of things. And so when people say, well, how come you haven't seen an opportunity zone deal yet in Wenatchee, I'm saying the deferral on the first is fine. The home run is if the second deal makes a lot of money. So we don't have the second deal yet, right? Now, if I knew that Amazon was coming to downtown Wenatchee, okay, and I'd sell a property, go down, buy some of this opportunity zone stuff from Lineage, and I put Amazon in there, and in 10 years I sold it and made $10 million. That's tax-free stuff.
How did you choose the areas to be zoned?
So it had to be approved by the governor, but we had to go through. It's based on census tracts and where the poorest portion of your community is. So from economics, where people are living, it really is sort of that Wenatchee Avenue to the riverfront, and then from Fifth Street South, right? It's all that industrial area, takes up most of South Wenatchee, goes clear out. Follows the river all the way out to Malaga, quite frankly. And that's the area that is the poorest demographically for our region. That is the one that's got the most upside potential for developers. So we selected that. We applied to the governor, and he selected actually two for our region. That's actually two opportunity zones technically, but they touch each other. But so we've got two in our region that are active. And, again, what we need are developers that are willing to put money into those sorts of properties to improve them, to get them ready to go for economic development and for them to make a profit.
And the opportunity zone goes Fifth all the way out into the woods, right?
I don't know how far west it goes, to be honest with you. Obviously, you'll get to a point where the demographics change, and so that wouldn't really qualify. So I don't know if it's Miller Street or how far up it goes, but it mostly just heads south.
Because most of that is state, right?
Yes.
Or national.
Yeah. But all that stuff along the riverfront. So, again, Alcoa's properties in the opportunity zone, right? And Malaga has a whole bunch of industrial area that's in the opportunity zone. And then we have our South Wenatchee and our waterfront stuff that's also in the opportunity zone.
Has anybody kicked the tires on that deal yet?
I have not seen or heard of a deal that was an opportunity zone deal. That doesn't mean we won't see one. Maybe the Lineage deal ends up being one of those where a buyer comes in and says, hey, I just sold my downtown Seattle property and I'm going to invest in this one. So let's hope if it works and we get some money in town that wants to speculate on commercial property, that's a good place to go.
The sewer deal to the south end for Sunny Slope, north end actually, is coming to fruition. One thing I didn't realize about the sewer systems when they're put in, it pretty much governs the type of development you're going to have there. If you let everybody put in their own system for a tank, that's one thing, but when the sewer system's in, you can change the coding.
Yeah, well, so what happens? Zoning. I mean, generally speaking, what happens? It allows for denser development, right? Because when you have a property that's going to have a septic tank, you need to have a larger lot in order to have the drain field system working, right? So then you end up with 3/4 acre lots or 1/2 acre lots, if you had a sewer system, you could end up with a, you know, an 8,000 square foot lot, right? So you could get six homes to an acre, five homes to an acre, not two homes to an acre. So when you're trying to build a city and we're, you know, we're experiencing somewhere in the neighborhood of 1% growth, which is 350 housing units a year over 10 years is 3,500 units. You need areas where you can have denser development, and denser, and that means you have to have a sewer line. So the reason why we took one out into the Sunny Slope area is there's land out there, you know, that's available for denser development under our zoning code, that with a sewer line, then you could get some multifamily, you could get some denser housing developments. And I think when you're trying to, you know, accommodate the growth that's coming, you know, growth management forces us to make those sorts of decisions. And so we did. We brought a sewer line out to school on Easy Street, which is, and what's interesting to me is, you know, school on Easy Street, it's a long way from where you and I are sitting right now.
Right.
Yeah, there's people on Walnut Street, which is right over there, that don't have sewer and don't want it and want to be in the county and don't want the city to govern them. And so it's a really interesting dynamic.
They want to be annexed, but don't knock on the door?
They don't want to be annexed.
Oh, they don't?
Stay away. Yep, city's bad. We just want to do what we want to do and don't bother us. And so we're not bothering them. We're just moving the sewer where people want it. And eventually they'll need a sewer line because some septic tank will fail and
that'll be a mess.
And it'll be a mess, and we'll be late to the game because, you know, again, we're not going where we're not wanted. And so we just sort of keep, you know, trying to expand the sewer where we feel like it's going to, you know, get some return. They're expensive to expand.
They are expensive.
And so you need, the one thing you need when you expand a sewer is you need customers. And so we go where we think we have customers.
Also, Douglas County is doing the same thing on the other side of the bridge. They're trying to bring in their sewer systems.
Yeah, a little bit different in their model is we did it with our own revenue, and they've asked for state help, and I think they're probably going to get some state help to make that happen. But again, I think the sewers need to be expanded, and our wastewater treatment plant's about at 50% capacity or so. So we're going to be making some changes down there as well. So we have plenty of capacity to handle the growth, and to build new treatment plants are very expensive. So the goal is to optimize what you have and get enough paying customers to keep the monthly charges as cheap as possible. And ours are $30 a month or so, actually going to $30 over time, and that's still pretty reasonable.
The Apple Blossom Festival is just about to kick off. This is the time of year you love because you get to ride in a limousine. I know you love that.
Oh, I am not. I do the parades and I smile, but I am not a look at me sort of guy. So I will get through both. It's Classy Chassis Parade and the Apple Blossom Parade, and I will MC the chief for a day on a week from Thursday. We've got a Marsawa delegation in town, so I'll be having them for dinner one night and spending some time with them. So it's a very busy time to be the mayor of the city.
What's on the menu at Frank's house?
So Frank does not cook, so we will be at a local restaurant. I have not figured out which one that is yet because I also have to be, Darcy wants me to dance at the ball on Friday night as well, so I'm trying to be in two places at once.
And you didn't say anything about that? Well, of course, who could tell Darcy no?
That's a good point. That's a good point right there. So
I might be dancing before I finish the show.
Yes.
Do you know what the economic footprint of the Apple Blossom Festival is? Do we know what it means
to
the area?
So I would say it probably isn't what it used to be, and I'm okay with that. So there was a time 15 years ago, Michael, 20 years ago, when there was the sort of the cruising that went on and all of that sort of stuff, that you couldn't get a hotel room anywhere near Wenatchee. Wow. It was just full. But we also had a couple murders in some of the hotels. We had some really bad people in town. And so that has changed over time. And now it's a more friendly, family-friendly event, if you will, less of the cruising. Some people say we took all the fun out of it, and I'm not going to debate that. We used to bring in 30 to 50 police officers from out of the area to handle the cruising. We do it with our own staff now. We have to pay over, you know, we got our own.
There is no cruising.
No cruising, and our own staff can handle it. So it's a very family fun event. So does it bring the economics that it used to? I think you can get a hotel room in town now if you wanted to Apple Blossom weekend without any problem whatsoever. So, if you were to ask about the economic activity, I would say probably not what it used to be, but I like the festival way better the way it is, and I'm okay with that.
And a lot less murders, which is a good thing.
Less murders, less wear and tear on your police officers. They used to have court 24 hours a day, all 3 days, right? During the
next case,
arrest people. You're in jail. Go, go, go. Yeah, yeah. And so it's just different. And, you know, you and I were talking off air how things change and communities sort of change over time. And, this is a festival that, although it's 100 years old and it has changed, I think in a lot of ways the last 10 or 15 years has changed for the better.
And at the beer garden, do they still have the Mayor's Brew?
So I had the Bimbo Blonde for a while.
Oh, dear.
Yes, but I don't know which one they chose that might have my name on it, but I will be in there a couple of the nights having some of the beer. It's really fun to have go to the beer garden. I mean, that's new in the last four or five years.
Oh.
Yeah, and the fact they're doing it for all 10 days or 11 days of the festival is also a bit new. Fun, but they do such a good job of maintaining it, and they have security there, and no one gets out of hand, and you come in and have a beer and get something to eat and watch a band play. It's great fun. And so it'll be really fun to see lots of people there. And, again, another great addition to Darcy and her staff, and, you know, always looking at how they can make it better, right? Never happy with the way last year's was. What can we do to make this year's better?
That's Frank Koontz. He's the mayor of Wenatchee. We'll be back right after this on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to the S Trip of a Lifetime 3, Destination Costa Rica, with Total Travel, Pleasant Holidays, Dr. Hoey, and News Radio 560 KPQ.
That's who we are, KPQ. It's 1252. My very special guest is Frank Koontz. He's the mayor of the great city of Wenatchee. Is there going to be summer in the city paving going on this year? We had a bunch last year. The streets look good.
Yep, and they'll be right back at it. We're doing, I'll get the number wrong, 80 lane miles of hot chip. There's regular asphalt that you see them rolling out, and then there's cold mix where you put oil down and drop the rocks on top of it and drive over it.
Mm-hmm.
And the newest version is you just take the rocks and you put them in oil and you sort of roll them down.
Wow.
And so we're going to do a whole bunch of that this year on a number of the arterial streets. This is year two of a three-year sort of how much can we get done with our street program. And so, again, this is year two of that. We'll do another round of it next year. And then we're going to stop and take a look. But we are really pushing hard for this year and next year. We're going to spend, I'm over $3 million this year again on streets.
Is this a type of surfacing that holds up better under winter tires?
We certainly hope so, Michael. We've tried all different sorts of slurry seals and chip seals and hot chip. So this will be our first run on hot chip. So we'll see. The freeway between here and Chelan got hot chipped by the state, and it seems to be holding up really well. But highway driving is different than city driving, and so we're going to give this a try and see how it works and whether it seals the streets up and whether the driving surface is good. Most of the cities that have done this like it, so we're anxious to give it a try and see how it works.
Speaking of the freeway, I read something, and I didn't read it completely, which is the story of my life, but there was apparently a study that shows that Wenatchee is the only city of its size in Washington that doesn't have a hookup to an interstate.
So we're one of either 10 or 12 what they would call metropolitan areas, a metropolitan area defined by the federal government as 100,000 or more that are not connected to the interstate system.
So Bend,
Oregon. So it can be good or bad, right?
Yeah.
So I would argue that if you had a bypass of Wenatchee, then maybe people wouldn't stop in Wenatchee and come in and have a hamburger and get some gas and sort of make a stop in Wenatchee. So I'm okay with not being served by the interstate system, but that means I want my local road systems to be the best that they can be, which is why we're excited about Confluence Parkway and the money for the Apple Capital Loop program, because we don't have a federal interstate system here. So, you know, feds, it's our turn. Get us some money. Let us help with our local road system. And eventually I would guess that four laning to Quincy is probably going to happen. It's just going to be a little while. I'm guessing that would probably be the next big play here would be how do we get a four-lane road to Quincy, because there's so many people traveling that roadway, and in the wintertime it's awful, and commuting time it's awful, and it really is probably our easiest bet to get a four-lane, get connected to I-90 would be between here and Quincy.
And more people in Quincy are working here, right?
Yes, and back and forth. Yep.
Yeah. What about the idea of, I lost my grain of thought. That was a good one. I can't remember.
Probably talking about a third bridge at some point, huh?
Oh, that's it. The traffic here on our bridge.
Yes.
is greater than the 520 traffic between Bellevue and Seattle.
It's actually, I think when Steve King said that, I think he meant to say 522, which is sort of the Bothell roadway.
That's a little different from 520.
Yes.
All right, but, I withdraw my question.
No, when he said that, I thought he forgot a 2. He said 520, and I think he meant to say 522.
That's a big 2.
Yeah, yeah.